As I mentioned at Michamocha, where we are in our Torah portions, last week was this wonderful moment of freedom, the Exodus story, this physical manifestation. We sort of live through it physically of freedom. And some say this is the sort of physical embodiment of the Jewish story of the Exodus from Egypt. It has come to epitomize what it is to be a part of the Jewish story physically. And then this week's parsha, this week's Torah portion, Yitro, is more the story of the spiritual backbone, the spiritual essence of what it is to be a part of the story of the Jewish people, where we come in Yitro to the mountaintop, to Sinai. Some of us might know the Midrash that says there are many Midrashim, many stories and ways to understand these moments about how it is that the children of Israel came to receive the Ten Commandments. There are many interpretations. One is that God went to lots of nations at the time and offered them the commandments, the Torah. And once God went through like the list of all the demands and all the restrictions, everyone said, no, thank you. But when Israel was approached, we said, na'aseh v'nishma, we will do and we will listen. Interestingly, we said yes, and then said, wait, what do we have to do? Like, we said yes, and then we said, we'll listen to what it is you say. Maybe it was, you know, naivete, stupidity on our parts. But either way, it has become sort of central to our story as well, that we said in this moment, we're in, and we will follow, before even really understanding what it was that was being asked of us. And we also, of course, think about the oneness that we say in every service that has become part of the rubric of what it is to be a part of the Jewish community, this biblical expression of unity, of how we will live these values in Ve'ahavta with Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, hear, O Israel, or listen, Israel, God is one. Listen, hear. But what's interesting is that we're never really told what we're listening for necessarily or how we should be listening to all of these commandments. There's a beautiful teaching about this moment in our Torah portion at Sinai, which is that for everyone who stood there in that moment, receiving the commandments and the Torah through Moses from God, that everyone heard what was in their own power to hear. Not everyone heard the same thing. Not everyone experienced the same thing. Each person received what was theirs to receive. So let's look back at that moment of preparation and that moment of receiving something at Mount Sinai. The text tells us that as the people are prepared to receive Moses, and Moses is going to go up onto the mountaintop, everyone understands that something profound is going to happen. They're asked to fast and to cleanse themselves. The texts say that the moment arrives and everyone sort of gathers around the mountain. And it says that the people saw thunder and heard lightning. I didn't say that wrong. It says that they saw thunder and heard lightning. So already something mind-blowing is about to happen. Something profound is coming. And it revolves around this idea of awareness, of listening, of being able to hear the lightning and see the thunder. Not just with our ears, but with our orientation, with our posture, which with the way we come to the moment. And so then everything, there's thunder and lightning and there's blast of horns, there's all kinds of noise and activity. And after all the cacophony, we are told, there is absolutely no sound at all. And it doesn't just mean the talking stops, like no sound. And I think we have no idea what no sound would be like. There is no horn and no noise, but also that the Midrash says when God gave the Torah, no bird sang or flew, no ox lowed, and the sea ceased moving. There wasn't even sounds of water. The entire planet was still. All the roar, all the living things were silent. The whole world was hushed, and into the stillness a voice, I, the Eternal. It was only out of stillness and quiet that came the voice of the divine. I'm going to use some slides here. Another Midrash teaches us, when our teachers try to understand, like, who wouldn't want to understand what happened at this moment of revelation? Like, I want to know exactly what was going on. We try to understand. Some rabbis say this is a text, what would look like in the Torah, of the Ten Commandments. They're not listed out through the Ten, but they're all here in the Hebrew. Some say that everybody heard Ten Commandments. How many commandments are there? 613, right? There are 613 mitzvot. They didn't hear them all. Some say they heard the first 10, the sort of big ones, the most important ones, okay? Then, next slide, some rabbis say, actually, all that anybody heard was just the first commandment. Anochi Adonai Elohecham asher hotzeiti me'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beit avadim. The last week's story, I am Adonai, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the house of bondage. That everyone just heard the first commandment. The next interpretation, third, next slide, is that actually everyone just heard one word, Anochi, I. I wonder what that would have been like if we all just heard that word. And yet others say what actually everybody heard standing at Mount Sinai, next, an Aleph. What's the problem here? Aleph, the Hebrew letter Aleph, actually has no sound unless there's a vowel attached to it. So what does that mean? That everyone heard Aleph, heard no sound. As I said, it was out of the stillness that came the voice of the divine. Maybe the voice was stillness. The voice of the songs of the planet, the voice of every blade of grass, the voice of the cries of pain from our neighbors near and far, the voices of our inner truth and the divine spark that is within each human being. That's perhaps what we hear in the Aleph, in the no sound. For perhaps the sound of Aleph blocks out everything else. I like quiet. In my house growing up, we actually didn't listen to a lot of music. We actually didn't listen to any music in my house growing up. My mom liked quiet. I liked quiet. My dad had to put on headphones to listen to like Dan Fogelberg and some weird jazz he listened to. But we were happy not to hear it. The radio in the car was rarely on, except to NPR sometimes, except to listen to the Cardinals game when we were driving back from Friday night services. If there was a Cardinals game going on, we would listen to the radio. I grew up in a house that was quiet. And as a musician, you might say, how can that be? I love to sing and I love when we sing together, but I love the quiet. The reason why I love quiet and I also love to make music is because when it's over, when our singing is finished, it's the way the air has changed. The sound and the vibration and the energy that has shifted in a room because we sang. The notes and the feelings that float on the air that ring in space and in our hearts. Psalm 65 says, Lecha dumiya tefillah, to you, which means to us, silence is praise. Think about the resonance. The best parts of music that you hear is often after the last notes, right? The power, and sometimes your ears might ring with the notes when you get in your car on the way home from a symphony or a concert. Rabbi Nehemiah Polin, a great spiritual director, says that the silence on the way into the symphony is very different than the silence when you leave because something has changed. This deep part of our tradition comes from the idea of, I read a reading about it earlier, Kol Dmama Daka. In Kings, Elijah has lost his way and he goes into a cave to try to find himself and make sense of it all. And we read that he goes out to finally know God and he comes out of the cave and there is all this wind and noise and he doesn't find God there. And there's an earthquake and God isn't there and there's huge fire, God isn't there. But then Elijah hears Kol Dmama Daka, that murmuring, that voice within. And that's when he knows God's voice. The poet Rumi says in his poem, Listening, listen and feel the beauty of your separation, the unsayable absence. There is a moon inside every human being. Learn to be companions with it. Give more of your life to this listening. As brightness is to time, so you are to the one who talks to the deep ear in your chest. I should sell my tongue and buy 1,000 ears when that one steps near and begins to speak. Tradition tells us that we all stood, we and our children after us stood and will be standing at Sinai. Judaism is the framework of a spiritual existence where divinity, oneness, God as everything, God as partner, is part of us. So then we have to consider, what is it that we hear? Are we truly listening? What is the sound not only of the moment, but what is the resonance? What is the aleph, the silent noise that follows hearing God's voice? I'm going to invite you to just take a real moment to listen to whatever it is that the voice inside you is saying.